Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So let's get into the Word of God today. I'm just going to kind of jump forward a little bit. All right, so let's see how far we can get today. So today may feel like a Bible study a little bit. We have Monday night Bible study at 7 p.m. on Zoom. You can go to our website to get the link. But I've been feeling a little bit that we just need to break down and kind of dissect the Word, dissect the Scripture a little bit here on Sunday. So if it feels a little teachy this morning, like teaching, that's because we're bringing Bible study into Sunday. Is that all right? Is it okay? Cool. We're going to do that. We'll see how far we can get. It is my intention, and if you know anything about having a relationship with God, it is my intention to wrap up Galatians chapter 5 today. And then next month, we're starting to move into these areas of spiritual battles on a higher level, right? Ephesians chapter 6, the full armor of God. If you've been here with us, we started there. We took a detour to kind of talk about the works of the flesh. So it's my intentions that October we'll step into talking about Ephesians chapter 6 and everything like that. I say my intentions. We'll see what God does. Amen. So y'all want to flow with me today? Y'all ready for this ride? I praise God that you are such a receptive congregation. Believe me, I have preached in places where even though people are not sitting like this, it feels as if they're sitting like that. You know, if you've ever done any type of speaking and you're just like, man, this is going to be a tough crowd type of thing. It's not the case here. It's never the case here. So I praise God for that. So I'm really trying to take my time as we're going through the Word today. But I want to kind of, if you've been on Bible study, I want to share where we've been. Initially, we were going to talk about spiritual battles in high places. And then God shifted it and said this, kind of impressed this upon my heart. That before, sometimes we can understand the spiritual battles in high places. I'm talking about evil spirits and demonic forces and all of that kind of stuff. We have to deal with the battles within. So it's almost as if don't go outside starting a fight if you can't even handle the fight within. And so sometimes, and if you've been here before, you've heard me say this, we think the battle that we're fighting is the devil is after me, or some type of evil spirit just keeps tormenting me. And I'm not saying that that is not the case at times. Sometimes the greatest battle is within our own members, our own flesh. And so if I can identify within myself, if we can identify within ourselves, where is the battle coming from, we will be a lot more successful. But as Paul says, sometimes when we're praying and we pray amiss, like just kind of, it's as if we're beating at the wind. I don't know if you've ever seen a shadow boxer. You know, a person that just kind of, like, they're just boxing and everything. But imagine a person not shadow boxing, they're just, you ever seen somebody fight like this? You know, they're just hoping that they land some hits. We cannot be that way as Christians. We cannot. And so the enemy, and we'll learn this as we're in October, going in through October, the wiles or the strategies of the enemy means that he studies, now the Satan, so when I say enemy, I'm kind of speaking pluralistic. Satan cannot be at all places at one time like God can. So God is omnipresent. He can be at all places at one time. Satan cannot because he is an angel. He is a fallen angel. But there are evil spirits. So I don't know if you believe in that or not, but there are. There are demons, right? And so there is this spiritual battle that takes place beyond the natural realm that we as human beings are engaged in oftentimes. So the enemy will study our tactics, almost like a military operation or something else as well, to determine how we need to be attacked. So strategy, the wiles of the devil, and we'll talk about in Ephesians chapter 6. So if our enemy who is coming against good, our enemy who is coming against God, who is in opposition to God, is using strategies to study the people of God, or just human beings, not just Christians are under attack, but human beings, then we must now fight the battle not aimlessly, but knowing where the warfare is coming from. Are y'all following me so far? And so if I think that every battle is some type of evil spirit coming against me, when that may be a very small percentage of it, but really the battle is eternal, then I'm fighting the wrong fight. And many times we find ourselves fighting the wrong fight, or vice versa. I think it's just me. I'm just messed up. I'll never get it right and everything. And I feel like I'm just wrong. But it's really the enemy that's coming after me. But I can't detect it because I can't see, because I'm not spending time with God. I'm not spending time in the Word of God. I'm not consistently coming to church. So therefore, my senses, my eyes, my ears is very dull. And I cannot see clearly the spiritual battle that's taking place. It's almost as if I'm blinded. This is the reason why Paul at times will say things, I think, in the book of Ephesians, that I pray that God will open the eyes of your spirit. So we have natural eyes and we have spiritual eyes. So natural eyes, we know, right? Is everybody looking right now through your natural eyes? But spiritual eyes, which mean that you are a spirit being on the inside. And the way that you keep those eyes clear is by doing spiritual things. Reading the Bible, praying, worshiping. That's how you do that. But if we give more attention to natural things, our spiritual eyes and ears become very dull. But the fight that we fight, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? So if we are not equipped as spiritual beings of God's kingdom and we fight every fight just from the natural, we are fighting amiss. And I'm hoping that I'm hitting something. And that's the moments where in prayer, and sometimes our prayer are just more general prayers, where we'll say something like, and I say this quite often, Lord, help me, because I don't know what's going on, right? God, help me, because something is off. Well, if I take a moment and say, God, help me to see what is happening, because I feel very heavy today, or I feel very sluggish today. And at times, we blame those things on the elements in the natural. But sometimes, if you pray, God may help you see beyond that it's not because it's a cloudy day. That there is literally, at times, an enemy trying to lull you to sleep. But because he has studied our tactics, he realizes that every time the forecast calls for a cloudy day, this person gets lazy. So guess what? When a cloudy day comes, I'm going to be waiting at their doorstep to try to trap them and have them not want to do anything. You see that? So if we know that, so now I use my spiritual senses to discern that it's not the clouds that's causing me to feel drained and low. There's something else going on here, right? There's something else happening. So what do? I use that strategy to start praying against that. And I start looking at the forecast and say, you know what? It's going to be partly cloudy this week, and it's going to be a Monday. Y'all know how Mondays are, right? So partly cloudy, and it's a Monday, and it's right after a holiday weekend. You know, like, I'm already irritated just thinking of all those things. So the enemy is like, this is going to be a good one. As soon as you get to work, as soon as you get to school, I'm going to be waiting. I'm going to have that person that's going to press your buttons, and you're just going to flip out on them, and then they're going to say, I thought you was a Christian. So if I know that about me and I realize that that is a tactic of the enemy, then I need to do something about that. So maybe I need to wake up a little bit earlier and I need to pray. Maybe I need to wake up a little bit earlier and I need to read the Bible. Maybe I need to ask somebody to keep me in prayer. So just don't go along with the flow. It don't have to just be that way. Because we, as children of God, are citizens of the kingdom of God. And it's God's desire for his kingdom to operate here on this earth, so that people who has not entered his kingdom can come into his kingdom, right? So the enemy has a kingdom of darkness where he's trying to get as many people as possible to continue down that path. So if it seems dark and oblique, don't just think that it's the natural elements. It may just be the enemy trying to use natural elements to put you to sleep. Amen? So let's look at some scriptures. So that's an introduction to next week. Amen. So I want to just run through this really quickly. If you've been here, you joined our Bible study, we've walked through these different areas. So I'm not going to take too much time and walk through. I was joking with Tremaine, my wife, and I was like, we'll see. We'll see. Last week, so if you missed the message from last week, please go onto our website, purposechurchde.org, and you can go to our sermons area and listen to that. So sexual immorality is all areas, all forms, right? So anything outside the covenant of marriage, the relationship of marriage, anything with that is sexual immorality. I keep wanting to introduce this way. We are talking about the practices of the flesh. So we're talking about a person who has determined within their mind, this is just the way that I'm going to do it. We're not talking about a person that is still in the midst of a struggle and saying, I don't want to do this. Like, you know, like I'm trying to do good. Like Paul said, I want to do good, but evil is always present. God, help me. And every once in a while, I got to ask God to forgive me. God, please help me. And you're reaching out to your friends and your family. Like, please keep me in prayer because there's certain things that according to the works of the flesh, I don't want to do, but I just feel like I'm not strong enough. We're not talking about that person. We're talking about the person that's decided in their mind that, hey, this is just the way that I'm going to live my life. I'm going to practice this area. So as we're looking at that, but I caution us, don't dance around in these areas. Like, let us not play around. Let us not look at this list and say, that ain't me. There are branches of this that will try to come out and grab you. And again, Lord will bring you right. Come on, right on in. And we may find ourselves practicing it. So if there's any extension or indication of these areas in our lives, we need to start asking God, please help me. Amen. So that I don't get to the point where I feel like I'm good. And before I know it, I'm practicing it. It becomes a habit in my life. Always stay on the guard and say, I don't want to practice these things. So impurity is in thought, word, or deed. I'm just having impure or unclean thoughts, according to God's standard. Unclean words, unclean actions or deeds. Sensuality just means I refuse moral constraints. I think y'all get the picture, right? Hopefully, no? Okay, I'm just out there. And this is sensual. Listen to this. Sensual, which means, like, we all have sensual things, like, you know, like, ooh, I have these feelings and I have these passions. But this is a person that has a passion and they just go free with it. There's no restraint in regards to what they're doing. All right? So y'all see that? You say, woo, Jesus. So that one right there is an area, you know? I don't want to start naming things. All right. Yeah, somebody said you don't have to. All right. Idolatry, two Sundays ago, and sorcery, I think we talked about those things. So listen, idolatry is straight up. I am trusting something else, or someone else more than I'm trusting God, right? Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then sorcery is just this supernatural influence. This is where instead of me reaching out to God for supernatural, right, because God is beyond us, supernatural influence, I'm tapping into something else for supernatural influence. In other words, we know God is a spirit, and instead of me worshiping God who is a spirit, I'm worshiping or trying to get insight from something else. If you were here two Sundays ago, you remember us talking about that piece. Hostility. Nobody in here, right? Just hostile. hostile. You know, they call it hostile takeover. Y'all know anybody like that? They just come in a room and they just take over. Hostile. Just deep-seated opposition. They oppose to everything. Everything. Now listen, this is the works of the flesh, which means instead of me depending upon God to help me, I say, I got this. So I would say some of these areas, we have to be careful that we don't say, well, that's just the way that I am. The Bible says this word, Selah. Just pause and let me think about that. That's just who I am. If who I am goes against God, who's right? God or my flesh? I encourage us. Go on God's side. Amen? Strife. This is done with the church or in fellowship. Rivalry that fractures fellowship, right? Just strife. Jealousy. Intense heat towards a person. Just intense. You can feel it. Fits of anger. We've been talking about this a few times. A sudden human outburst. Person just outburst. Disputes. Something that corrodes relationships. Dissensions. Like on purpose, I'm just standing apart. Factions. Listen to this one. Self-made doctrine that divides. Ladies and gentlemen, in our time right now, there is a lot of doctrines. What is doctrines? Beliefs about a lot of different things. If my belief on purpose is separating people, trying to separate them from God or from fellowship, well, you can't come be a part of our church because you believe that. Excuse me? Whose church is it? You're not going to heaven because of, now, if they don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that is the requirement. But it cannot be because of this doctrine that I have in regards to, you ain't going to heaven because of, what does the Bible say in regards to our way of salvation, the way to salvation? So there's a lot of different doctrines. I listened to a guy one day, a young man was talking to me, and he said that he goes to AI, artificial intelligence, to share, to get the word shared with him. So instead of him opening up his Bible or going onto his app, he's asking AI, well, AI, what do you say? I better stop being so loud because some of y'all probably got them AI apps going on. They start all responding like, right? What do you say about whatever it is, you know, envy or something like that? And I remember us sitting down in a session, and I had to, like, explain, like, okay, I know AI said that to you, but this is what the Word of God says. What I am saying is, come on, we got the Bible. We got the Bible. We have the Bible. And so I don't care what anyone comes up with. If it goes against the Word of God, it is wrong. Amen? Like, this is the Word of God. And there's different translations to help us understand it clearer. But also for all of us as believers of Christ, you have the Word and then you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So I am just saying this. Please don't just take people's word for it. And this is even one of the reasons why I take my time teaching. You know why? Because I don't want to rush past a scripture and you say, well, what was that scripture he put up there? I didn't even get a chance to read it. No, I want you to see it so that when you go home, you can read it as well. I want you to read it. Do you know there's certain groups where it was encouraged that the people don't even have access to the Word of God? It was only the person speaking that will read the Word to them. You realize that years ago? And in some places, that's still the same? Not here. I need us to know the Word of God. And in today's time, people will follow many doctrines, beliefs. And if you're not careful, you will go right that way as well. But if you know the Word of God and you have a relationship with God, you'll say, there's something wrong with that. But if you are not anchored and hearing and reading and studying and praying the word, you will be like a ship tossed to and fro. It's so important to know the word of God. I know I say amen a lot, but it's a way to make sure y'all still track it with me. So, amen. So envy, this is where I don't want another person to have anything good in their life. I am so envious that it says should not possess good. I don't want another person to have good. Drunkenness, I think we can, y'all probably can give me a definition of that. Nobody in here ever drank, right? Or I should say got drunk. A state of intoxication, riotous behavior, self-indulgent celebration. The bottom line is that we cannot inherit the kingdom of God or walk in God's way if we are practicing the works of the flesh. So here's the battle. Here's the fight. And God will not stop. I love the song. His goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness is chasing after me. And as we were singing that, it's not this, because sometimes people can say, oh man, you know, God is good because he got me this new house, and God is good because he got me this new car, and God is good because of this and that. It is God's loving kindness that is chasing after us. It's God saying, I love you so much that I won't stop chasing you. I won't. He's standing constantly at the door and knocking and saying, I want to get close to you. I want to have a relationship with you. Even if you've already given your life to my son, Jesus Christ, and you know that when this is over, you're going to heaven. But until you get there, I want us to have a relationship. That is God who is love. That's the God that we serve. Man. And then he'll say, and then all these things will be added to you. Getting the things to us is not an issue. You know what the problem is? It's our heart. It's us. He wants not just giving us the things. He wants our heart. And so God is trying to produce something in and through us by his Holy Spirit. And that will align with his kingdom or his way. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, whenever you see the word law, think Old Testament, think works. These things, these fruit cannot be produced by my work. They are produced by the work of the Holy Spirit within me. So this is not me. Oh, I think I shared this. Please help me squeeze out love. Please help me squeeze out peace and joy and patience, kindness. Oh, God, I just want to, hey, yield to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit flow that fruit through our lives. Amen? In the Old Testament, it was about, man, I got to work to be pleasing in God's sight. No, if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ, you are in right standing with him. Now his Holy Spirit says, I want to produce the fruit of the Spirit through you. That's the life. And there is no restriction to that. And I said this before, God is not going to say, that's enough love. You love too much. You just got too much joy. That level of peace you got, you need to bring it on in. Stop being so good. Why are you so kind? God, why are you so faithful? God is not going to say, stop. Why? Because it's him producing it through us. So if he says, you need to walk in more love, you will know it. Because he will be producing that in you to come through you. Are you following that? Amen. So let's walk through as much as we can the fruit of the Spirit. So we have two different areas. The works, so you see that down the bottom? Works is toiling by ourselves. So the works of the flesh. That means that if I'm practicing the works of the flesh, I'm doing it apart from God. The fruit of the Spirit is I'm doing it with God. And when these fruit are produced through my life, it is a sign that God is working in my life. So if my love tank is low, I need to get with God. If my joy is low, my peace, my patience is showing that something's going on with my relationship with God. So some people would say, well, how do you know a person is saved? I don't know. But I tell you what, if you ain't seeing no fruit like this coming out of their life, something wrong. Because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is working constantly in us to produce this fruit. Now, this is not, I think Joyce Myers would say this, don't go around being a fruit inspector. Where's your love fruit? No, focus on yourself. That's enough in and of itself. So this is self-reflective. So if any of these are lacking in my life, I need to check whether or not I am allowing God to work this in my life. So here it is. Am I growing in my relationship with Christ? What's going on with the fruit? And all nine of them. Not just a few. All the fruit. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to say, you just gave your life to Christ, so we're not going to work on an area called faithfulness yet. Nope. God is on the inside of us. So he is working to produce it all. Amen. So we just take a moment. What fruit is lacking? Like somebody say, gentleness is not even showing up on my tree. Then maybe we need to yield to the Holy Spirit so that he can work that in our area. So fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, right? So listen to this. Not how much I give, not how much I serve, not how much I show up to church, not all those other external things. The fruit of the Spirit is the evidence of whether or not God is working in my life. So some people will focus on the external. As long as I look the part, people will think that I got fruit producing. But the moment that I drive out of the parking lot, or on a bad day, I can't squeeze this fruit out. So God is not looking at the external, he's looking at the heart. And the fruit is coming from the heart. Amen. All right, amen? So first one, agape, love. So can y'all say love? Love. I knew somebody was going to say it like that. Love, love. Love is far beyond feelings. It's the seeks the true good of another. Here's the key. It is rooted in God's own character. God is love. This is divine love. It's the love that God prefers. So there is no way for us to love this way without God. Some may say it's unconditional love. Like, I'm not loving you because you did something for me or I think you will do something for me. I am loving you because this is what God prefers for me to do. So in fact, this level of sacrificial love needs to be led by God. God has to be involved in agape love. Because if I try to do it on my own, hoping that if I'm good to you, you'll be good to me, and you don't come back good to me, now I don't want to love nobody any longer. But if this level of agape, this is different than brotherly love, this is different than romantic love, this is sacrificial, this is what led Jesus to the cross, this is what may lead you to walk up to a person and say, God loves you. You're not looking for anything back, but you're doing it because the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do it. And I have to depend upon God to love this way. So if I say to someone, I just love you unconditionally. You better have God standing behind you helping you do that. Because if that person does not treat you the way that you feel like you should be treated, will that sacrificial love shift? So agape love is the love that God prefers, the divine love that comes from God through the believer of Jesus Christ. Whew. Agape. Amen? So for different people in your marriages, and you just say, I just agape you. You better go get the, you know, some other love. Amen. Every once in a while and everything, but agape, I need God to be able to love you to that level or to that degree. The next one is joy. Joy is more than an emotion. It arises from abiding in God's presence. I love this. Joy is grace recognized. In other words, this is, I have this joy bubbling over because of what God has done for me. So it's not just, oh, I'm happy to be in church today. This is, oh my gosh, like Jesus died on the cross for me. Oh man, he died for my sins. He was raised from the dead. And even though I was on my way to hell, he redeemed me and he saved me. Wow. And even as a Christian today, he has healed my body. He has provided for me. This is me reflecting the goodness of God in my life. And there's joy that comes up from that. So this is more than just being happy. I'm happy in Jesus. Praise God. This is every time I spend time with God, I am reminded of how great and how awesome he is in my life. And when those two things come together, the Holy Spirit begins to produce this joy in my life. Kata. Amen. So this is, and this is the reason why I believe it was in the book of Zechariah or Nehemiah, when they read the book, and it's a scripture that we use a lot, and it says, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. The reason why they read that scripture or was even to say that is because the prophet opened up the Bible and began to read it to the people. And when the people read how great God had been to them, then the scripture came forward and said, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. So this is not, God, please make me a joyful person. This is, God, you're so awesome. Thank you for keeping me. Thank you. It's really praise coupled with the Holy Spirit reminding me of how awesome God is, and this joy bubbles up in me. So this joy is always happening based upon my reflection of how awesome God is. It is not apart from God. It's not, because it will only last for a moment apart from God. All of this is produced by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So my joy comes from me spending time with God. Peace is granted by God. Listen to this. It is not the absence of conflict. It don't mean that everything is good. But what it means is that the Holy Spirit is working in my life, if you guys can see this. And conflict happens, but the Holy Spirit causes peace, which means my emotions are over here. And my mind is over here, and my body wants to do this over here. But God comes in by his Spirit and brings harmony within me. He brings all of that was sent within me in harmony with his Spirit. But on the outside, war is still taking place. But I have God's peace. Man. And I think some of us have to pray for that, because sometimes we're praying, God, I pray that the storm would end. And we can pray that. But what do you do when the storm just don't stop just like that? You say, I need your peace, God. I need harmony. You know why? Because I'm all over the place right now. My emotions is out of whack. I don't like people. I don't want to go to work. Now my body is acting some kind of way because my emotions is all. And you say, God, I need your peace. And God is able to bring all of who we are in harmony with one another and in harmony with him. Whew. Y'all got that? So it's not the absence of conflict. It is in the midst of what I don't like is going on. God brings me in harmony. Amen. Amen. Like somebody here needs that, because you keep, I pray into the storm and these children and this person and that person, keep praying those things. But in the midst of it, Lord, also, can you give me peace? Can you produce peace within me in the midst of this, God? You know why? Because at times, if we focus so much on the external, God could have brought peace, but we're still fighting because I don't recognize that he has brought peace. And you know what? And sometimes we're the ones causing the fight because we're all over the place. So if you're in a storm right now, if you're in the midst of something, I ask that you pray for God's peace. Amen? So that you can see what it is that's going on. Amen. Just a few more. Patience. Anybody need patience? I love the word, the third one. Staying power. So you have the ability to just do whatever you want to do when you're impatient. But God's patient says, I know you have the ability to flip out right now, but my fruit of patience is going to give you staying power. It is going to give you the ability to control yourself. It is long-tempered rather than short-tempered. Come on, like y'all understand what I'm saying? Like you have the ability to just not be patient. But God, through his spirit, says, but I need you to be patient right now. And you say, well, I don't know how to because I'm just short-tempered and I don't like what's going on. And I'm just ready to do something. And God says, but you're going to mess things up if you act out on your flesh. So he says, my spirit, the fruit, the spirit is producing in you patience. I know you can act out. You even have a right to act out if you want to. But he says, but don't. So stay in power. Stay still. Be still. Be still. And listen, for you being still is not taking anything from you. You know who you are. You know you have authority. You know you have something to say. You know you're qualified. Whatever it is that you're being impatient about. You know you got to be somewhere. And they're driving real slow. And you have, if I use that as an example, and you have the ability to jump, drive past them. I know none of y'all do that, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, and then don't even give space. You just jump right in front of them just like this. You have the ability to do that. God's not stopping you. But he's saying if you do that, that's not in line with my spirit. So he says, control your power, your ability, what you can do, and I'm going to help you. That make sense? Amen. Let's just do one more. We talked about this last one. We talked about this one with the kids. Kindness. And for y'all that want to know the Greek, that's what all that is there. So in parentheses is the Greek, and below it is the pronunciation for it. Kindness is God working through me to provide to someone what is really needed. I'm giving them something that's usable. I'm meeting real needs. I'm doing it God's way and in God's timing and according to God's fashion. So, man, you got to hear God. How many times we give stuff to people and we didn't ask God what we should be giving them? And we're just like, well, let me just give them something. What if the next time you pulled up to the light and you saw somebody out there with a sign or something asking for food and money, and while you were waiting, you said, God, how can I be kind to this person? And wait. But you know why? Because God knows exactly where they are, where they came from, what they need, and what they're going to do with whatever you give them. So kindness is not just me being just kind all the time. The fruit, I'm talking kindness from the Holy Spirit, is how do you want to use me, God, to be kind? Now, this doesn't mean that stop being kind to people, right? But what I'm talking about is, according to God's kingdom, God wants to produce something through us by his spirit And one of the fruit is kindness. And so let us pray the next time that we feel that prompting or that desire to do something for someone, especially to do something for someone that could shift their life. How is God involving you in the formation of somebody else's life through the fruit of kindness? You know, when you take time and dig through this, it's kind of like, dang, I got to like rework the way I'm doing things. Because it's not sometimes what we think. God won't waste anything. And so if he's trying to produce something through us, it's for a reason.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.